Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
God cares about what we think about. He doesn't just care what we do. Many people think, oh, if I can just do enough or be good enough or get my actions to be good enough, then, you know, I'm okay and everything's great and I can just go through life being a good person, doing good, and that's it. Come to church every once in a while when I feel like it, when the mood strikes me, and I'm good. But God isn't calling us to just be good people. He isn't calling us just to have good actions. He's calling us to a deeper relationship with Him that invades every single area of our life. And that gets uncomfortable for us because we're okay with people being connected to us on the surface. And we're okay with people being acquainted with us. But for people to really know who we are when no one else is looking, to know the very inward thoughts and things that go on inside of us, many people don't want that level of intimacy. And God is calling us to a deeper relationship with Him. He's calling us to dive in to His will and His way. And it all starts when we get our mind under control. Our mind will produce our actions in our life. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what goes on between our ears is some of the most important stuff that happens in life. Yes, bad things happen, and we go through trials and circumstances and situations that are terrible. We all have stories to tell of things that, I mean, if you wanted to throw a pity party, I could show up and be the lead speaker. I mean, we could do this thing. But God has called us to a better way of thinking. He's called us to not let our emotions and our thoughts and the things that happen in our mind control our actions. He wants us to be faith-led, not emotion-led. And it's real easy to get caught up in our emotions and in our thoughts and dwell and think on things that aren't of God. We've looked so far at fear and how fear can attack our life and how we can overcome fear and not be a prisoner to fears through Christ. We've looked at anger and stress and how if we don't get our anger under control, then we can't be that peace-loving, kind, tender-hearted, gentle person that God has called us to be. And if we let stress overwhelm us and overtake us, then we get so frustrated that we don't have time or effort or energy to do the things that God has called us to do because we're so caught up in the battle in our mind and the frustration and the overwhelming anger and stress that overtakes us. And this morning, we're going to look at something that we don't talk about often in church because we're all just supposed to be happy, excited people. And many times we see people like this, praise the Lord, and on the inside they're just falling apart with depression and negative thinking. And that will produce negative living. If we have negative thinking, it will produce negative living. And we won't see all the blessings and the promises of God that He's given us in His Word. And then we begin to wonder where God is at and why He's not moving. But we've strangled and we've kind of tied Him down because we fill our mind with all these other things that are not of Him. And so God doesn't have room to work because we've cluttered our mind with everything not of God. And so this morning I want to spend a few minutes looking at depression and how depression can get into even believers. We all struggle with down emotions, feeling down, feeling inadequate, feeling like things aren't going to change, feeling hopeless and helpless. And if we're not careful, if we dwell on that too long, it can grow roots in our life and turn into full-blown depression and sadness, which will cause the fear, the anxiety, the anger that we've been talking about so far. So let's look at what the Bible says about minding our mind and how the Bible tells us to combat depression. And if you want, there's an article, I didn't attach it to the notes for this week, but there's an article on the back table by Joyce Meyer on how not to let depression sneak into our life. Ephesians 6:12, kind of our launching pad for this entire Minding the Mind series. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember, our fight isn't against our neighbor. Our fight isn't against our boss. Our fight isn't against our spouse. Our fight is not against our children or our family. Our fight is with what's in here and the devil. And if we can get a hold of what's in here, the devil doesn't have a chance, because when we plant our mind and our faith firmly in the foundation of the Word of the Lord, then we don't have anything to worry about as far as Satan is concerned or self is concerned. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So yes, there is a battle for your mind. There is a battle for your spirit. And the way that Satan comes at us to attack us, to get at our spirit, is he starts in our mind. And he plants thoughts in our mind. Well, they don't really love you. They're just pretending. Well, nobody's ever really complimented you ever. So, you know, you must be. There must be something wrong with me. If nobody can ever say anything good, then what's wrong with me? If nobody pats me on the back, then did I not do a good job? If nobody wants to spend time with me, then nobody must love me. If I don't have this or that, then I can't be, you know, the very best me. He wasn't nice to me today. What's wrong with me? The boss didn't give me that promotion. I must be messed up and broken. And we start getting on this downward spiral of thoughts. It all begins in our mind. That's why our mind is so important. It all begins as a thought. You know, when Satan came to Eve in the garden in Genesis, the very first sin that separated us from God, Satan didn't come and say, "Here, eat this fruit and be bad forever." He didn't start like that. He came to her and said, "Didn't God say that, you know, if you eat this fruit, then you'll know everything? You know, this fruit looks really yummy. Didn't God say?" And he started twisting the word of God to put thoughts of doubt, thoughts of unbelief. And those thoughts got implanted in her mind and began to grow, and she began to think on them. Well, oh, that does look yummy. Well, I've never made a pie out of that fruit before. Y'all know this isn't in the Bible. This is what probably happened in her mind. You know, we've never tried that fruit before. It just looks so good. Adam would just love this fruit if he would only try it. We just need to eat this fruit. And it all started because a thought was implanted in her head. Well, God didn't really mean what he said. You can eat it. And that thought grew and turned into sin. And thoughts get implanted in our head on a daily basis. Millions and millions and billions of dollars are made every month and year implanting thoughts into our head through marketing and advertising and different things that we encounter in the day. There's billions of dollars that exchange hands for our thought life, to get us to think about things so then we think we need them and we go buy them. We're like that, what is it, that teddy bear corduroy that my mom used to read me the story about all the time when I was little. He would walk through the store every night after all the people had left. And yeah, this will preach, I promise. And so the little teddy bear's walking through the store and he sees things and he's like, I think I always wanted one of them. And then he walked down, I think I always wanted one of them. And he begins to just get obsessed and possessed with these thoughts of, I think I need that and I think I need that and I think I need that. And we get obsessed and possessed with these thoughts in our mind that are implanted on a daily basis. And there is a battle in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm for our thoughts. Because if we can start thinking it, then we'll eventually do it. That's why our thought life is so important. God doesn't only care about what we do, He cares about how we are on the inside. He doesn't care completely about our works, although He wants us to do good. But our inside, our motives, our thoughts are also very important to God. God's not looking for us to be fake people who just put on this facade of religiousness. He's looking for us to have a real, authentic relationship with Him. Not just look good from the outside, but be good on the inside. And it all starts in our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5. We don't walk after the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. I've had people ask me before, well, I can't control what comes into my mind. How am I supposed to control that? Thoughts just come and it just happens. We can intentionally control the thoughts that come into our mind. We can't control that they arrive. It's like when somebody comes to your house. Some people get all excited when people come over unannounced. They knock on the door and you just open up the door. Oh, come on in! You know, we'll whip up a little snack. All of our Southern hospitality stuff starts kicking in and we're so excited. And then there are those people who, when you knock on the door at their house, they went and ran and hid under the... They turned off the lights when they saw you coming up the driveway. And then they went and ran and hid behind the door of the bedroom. And they're peeking through the blind. Are they gone yet? Are they gone yet? You know, there's knocking on the door. And you're like, oh, dogs be quiet. I hope they don't think we're home. Oh, let's hide. Let's hide. The house is met. Let's not let them in. We're not going to let them in. And they wait until they leave. And then they're like, oh. It's the same thing when a thought enters into our life. We have the opportunity when thoughts that are against God's Word knock on the door of our mind. Are we going to open up the door and say, come on in and I think I'll think on you a while? Or are we going to say, you know what? You might have arrived, but you're not staying. It's like the company that never leaves. You start going, well, I think I'm going to go put on my pajamas. Or, you know, you're trying to hint that, hey, it's time to go home. Well, when thoughts come into our mind that don't belong, we need to tell them they got to go. And we replace the thought with the Word of God. I promise you, you cannot think on two things at once. Try it right now. Think about two things at one time. And then try to listen to me. You know, you can't do it. You can't think on two things at once. So when a thought comes that doesn't line up with the words of God, what do? We replace it with the words of God. When thoughts of depression come, we replace them with Psalm 99. The Lord will also be a refuge and a high tower for the oppressed, a refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble, high cost, destitution, and desperation. And so we have that thought of depression. I'm so hopeless. I'm so helpless. you know, I don't know, I'm so down. And we get these thoughts in our mind. And when they come, we say, no, I do not accept that. The Lord is my refuge. He's a high tower for the oppressed. He will be my stronghold in times of trouble. I thank you, God, that right now you are my stronghold. You're my help. And even though I may be in a time of trouble, you are holding me up. Before you know it, that thought of depression is gone. So we've got to bring into captivity, as 2 Corinthians 10 says, bring into captivity every thought. It's like a bouncer. You set a bouncer over your mind. You either in or you out. Or an umpire. They call the shots. They call them in, they call them out. We need to umpire our mind. Guard our mind. Bring into captivity. Cast out. Get out. All of the mess that is not of God. Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned and adapted after its superficial customs. But be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas, its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even that thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. We won't see God's will for our life fulfilled if we don't mind our mind and come out from the customs and traditions and ways of the world and get in a new way of thinking, a new attitude, so that we can prove the will of God for our life, so we can test and try and show the will of God for our life, and so that it will be acceptable and perfect in His sight for us. We must mind our mind. God doesn't want you to feel hopeless and helpless. He doesn't want you to feel saddened or discouraged or depressed. When discouragement and sadness comes, He wants you to turn to the Word. He wants me to turn to the Word so that we don't dwell on that discouragement and dwell on the sadness and then it manifests as depression in our life. God has not called us to be depressed. He's called us to rest in His peace and His joy and His love. So let's look at some words of God that we can use when we feel hopeless, when we feel helpless, when we feel deep sadness and sorrow and depression creeping into our life. What are some words of God that we can use that we will know that God is for us and not against us, that this depression, this downness, this sadness and hopelessness and helplessness did not come from Him, and we can rise above and stand firm in our faith? Let's look at what the Word of God says. Deuteronomy 31:8. And most all of these this morning, we're going to be going through the Old Testament because, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in what's in the New Testament, but the Old Testament has a lot to teach us and show us and a lot we can learn. So we're going to dig into some Old Testament scriptures this morning to see what the Bible has to say about hopelessness and helplessness and feeling depressed and saddened. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will march with you. He will not fail you or let you go or forsake you. Let there be no cowardice or flinching, but fear not. Neither become broken in spirit or depressed or dismayed and unnerved with alarm. Have you ever been unnerved? It's easy to get there if you let yourself. We don't have to be depressed in spirit. We don't have to be dismayed. We don't have to be unnerved with alarm. We don't have to be broken. The Lord goes before us and marches with us, and He will not fail or forsake us. So when we have those hopeless thoughts, those helpless thoughts, we need to quote Deuteronomy 31:8. If you have to, write it on a sticky, put it on your bathroom mirror, put it on your steering wheel, put it on the refrigerator if you snack often like me. Put it somewhere where you will see it and where you can look and know that God is with you. He is marching with you. There is no need for being depressed or dismayed or unnerved. You can stand fast in your faith. No knowing it's He who is marching with you. Many times we get into these situations because He's marching, but we're not marching with Him. He's going, but we've gone astray and we've walked off the beaten path that He's prepared for us. 2 Samuel 22:17-25 and verse 29. It says, He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of great waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my uprightness with Him. He compensated me and benefited me according to the cleanliness of my hands. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His ordinances were before me, and from His statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before Him and kept myself from guilt and iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanliness in His holy sight. Then it says in verse 29, For You, O Lord, are my lamp. The Lord lightens my darkness. God is looking to help you whenever you face these trials and these temptations. And He said that He helped him and delivered him because He kept His word. So when we're going through difficult circumstances and we're going through feelings of hopelessness, don't quit keeping the Word of God. Do what God commands. Line your life up with His commands, and He will bring you out of great waters. I like verse 29, where it says, For You, O Lord, are my lamp. The Lord lightens my darkness. So when we feel like darkness is closing in on our mind, when we feel overwhelmed and saddened and despaired and distraught and helpless and hopeless, we need to remember that the Lord will lighten our darkness. He is our lamp. If we will line our life up with Him, He will lead and guide and direct us and lighten our darkness. Ecclesiastes 9:4. There is no exemption, but he who is joined to all the living has hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. He who is joined to all the living has hope. Are you alive today? Did you wake up and sit up on the side of your bed? You have hope. You have a way forward. You have a path that has been laid out for you. And it is through the Word of God. It is through His commands. It is through lining your life up with Him. You have hope. Are you alive? You have hope. Yeah, but I'm insignificant. The rest of the verse says, a living dog is better than a dead lion. You're alive. You have hope. There are no small parts to play on this earth. God has a plan for you, a path for you to walk in, and it's only found in lining up your life with His Word. Psalm 27:13-14. What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Be brave. Be of good courage. Let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. Where would we be if we had not believed that we would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? Our mind can get us on a downward spiral fast. We need to believe that we will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. We need to wait for and expect for and hope and wait on the Lord. This waiting on God is not laziness. It's not sitting back in your rocking chair with your sweet tea and saying, okay, God, I'm waiting on you. Just gonna sit here and do nothing till you get here, God. It's an active wait. It requires something of us. It requires that we be diligent to do what He's told us to do in His Word. It requires that we be diligent to worship Him. It requires that we be diligent to praise Him and to pray to Him and to read His Word and to study to show ourselves approved. It requires that we stand in expectation, waiting on God, actively seeking His plan, His ways, His will, because His ways are a lot higher than any of ours. This morning, if you feel hopeless and you feel in despair, be brave and of good courage and endure. We do go through difficult times, but God has called us to be brave, to wait on Him, to endure with patience. And oh, that's so hard. Who wants to be patient? It's a lot easier just to lead by our emotions. I don't feel like being patient today. I'd rather just snap at you. Might get done faster. God has not called us to live an emotion-led life. An emotion-led life is exhausting. I mean, literally exhausting. Because our emotions change like the wind. One day we feel up, the next day we feel down. One day we feel like slapping somebody, the next day we feel like loving that same somebody. One day we feel like going crazy, the other day we feel perfectly sane and happy. We can't live an emotion-led life. We will become exhausted. Because our emotions are going to change. We must live a faith-led life, believing on the words of the Lord Jesus, not looking to the way that we feel or think or what we want to do, but looking at how He feels, He thinks, and what He wants to do. Don't get exhausted in the emotions of life, because you will become so exhausted that it will begin to show in your body. It will greatly affect the quality of your life, the quality of your relationships. God has never called us to live by our emotions. He didn't say we walk by our emotions. We walk by how we feel. He said we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't go off of what we see. We don't go off of what situations look like. We don't go off of how we feel. We go off of our faith in God, the Word of God, and we plant our trust firmly in Him, that no matter what it looks like, He is holding us. He is walking with us. He is preserving us. Psalm 31:22-24. As for me, I said in my haste and alarm, I am cut off before your eyes. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just been like, God, I must be cut off from you. You must not be able to see what's going on down here. Because I think if you could see it, you would do something. He said, I said in my haste and alarm, I am cut off. But you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried for you to you for aid. Oh, love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, and plentifully pays back him who deals haughtily. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all you who wait and hope for and expect the Lord. God will preserve us. He preserves the faithful. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. We're not always going to have somebody coming around patting us on the back saying, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. Many times we have to pull our own bootstraps up and stand up and say, okay, I can do this. With God, all things are possible. Psalm 34:18-19. The Lord is close to those who are broken heart, and saves such who are crushed with sorrow for sin, and are humbly and thoroughly penitent. Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of all. Look at that. Many evils confront the consistently righteous. So, when we come to God, it doesn't mean that everything's going to automatically be sunshine, roses, and, you know, cake. Many evils confront the consistently righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of all. It is our job to be faithful. It is our job to line our life up with the Word. It is our job to dwell and meditate and think on His words, and not dwell and meditate and think on the world's way of doing things. When evils come, if we are lining our life up with His Word and His will and His way, the Lord will deliver. Psalm 43:5. Why are you cast down, my inner self? Why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God. Wait expectantly for Him. For I shall yet praise Him who is the help of my sad countenance and my God. So David's having a conversation with himself, and he's like, why are you so down and feeling horrible about yourself? Why are you moaning and disquieted? He's talking to himself here. What is going on with me? Why am I so down? Why do I have these feelings and these thoughts? I should be hoping in God. And then he says, for I shall yet praise Him who is my help, who is the help of my sad countenance and my God. So even when we're sad, even when we're disquieted, even when we feel like just moaning and groaning within ourselves because of all the junk that we're facing and all the stress and the things that are happening in our life, David had the key. He said, I will praise Him. I will praise Him. There was a time in my life where I was going through a very bad situation where people were just lying and saying all kinds of mess and saying a bunch of junk that wasn't true. And for a couple of days, I had myself a good old pity party. Had my songs that made me feel so sad going. Got some ice cream or, you know, whatever. Ate a bunch of nachos. And then after a couple of days, I thought, you know, I have two options. I can continually stay like this, and I can just be so sorry for myself and so upset that all this mess is happening. Or I can set my face to praise the Lord. And I can cast my care on Him because I know He's watching and He cares for me. And I can wait on God to deliver me. And so that's what I did. This was back when we had Sunday evening service, way back in the day. And so I put on a worship song by Judy Jacobs called My Soul is Anchored in the Lord. It's a very good song. Look it up on the YouTube. And so I put it on repeat. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to walk around this room. It was right in here. I'm just going to walk around in this room, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to be over this, because it is not worth my time, my energy, my attention for me to let these people get the best of me and just turn me into a ball of mush that can't do anything but be upset. And so that's what I did. I put on that song, and I walked around this room right here in the front. I had my hands lifted in the air, and I was praying. I was praying in English, praying in the Spirit, praising God. And about 30 or 40 minutes into it, my entire countenance had changed. I didn't care anymore. And let me tell you, it got worse before it got better. It wasn't like, oh, I did that, and that was the little potion that got rid of all the problems. It got worse before it got better. But by that point, I didn't care. Because I knew that God would take care of me. And years later, here we are. The problem is over. The situation is over. Those people aren't saying what they were saying anymore. And I'm not stuck on it. I'm using it as a teaching example here. But I don't go around saying, oh Lord, 30 years ago, it wasn't that long, I'm not that old. I'm only 33, that would have been 3 at the time. No. This many years ago, this thing happened, and don't you just see how it's just affected me? And if they wouldn't have ever done that, my life would never be this messed up as it is today. We have a choice when these things happen. We can get bitter or we can get better. I don't know about you, but I choose to get better. And so after that night of worship, it got worse before it got better. But I had a peace of God that passes all understanding. That no matter what people said, no matter what people did, no matter how many people came against me or how hopeless or helpless I might feel at the moment, God was on my side. He was looking out for me. He was taking care of me. And I was at peace and I was happy. And people that were around were like, are you not worried? I know I'm not worried about them. Whatever you want to do. I'm going on with God. I'm not going to get stuck and bogged down in all this mess. Because our drama in our life that brings us down and brings us hopeless and brings us to a point of feeling helpless is like quicksand. And if we stay in it too long, if we think about it too long, it sucks us down into it. And we won't be able to move forward in God. Let go. Praise Him who is the help of your sad countenance. Praise Him who is the help of your sad countenance. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, to made to slip, to fall, or to fail. Cast your burden on the Lord, releasing all the weight of it. Don't hold any of it back. And God will sustain you. You don't have to be moved by what you walk through. You don't have to be moved by the trials that you go through. You can move on through them, standing fast in your faith. Cast your burden on the Lord. Give it all to Him. He will sustain you. Psalm 62:5-6. My soul, wait only on God. Don't wait on people to do what people are supposed to do. Don't wait on circumstances to change. Don't wait on your family to do what your family said they were going to do. Don't wait on your boss to do what your boss said he was going to do. Wait only upon the Lord. And silently submit to Him, for my hope and expectation are from Him. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and my fortress. I shall not be moved. What's that old song that y'all know? I know all these old songs because Mom and Dad taught them to me from the time that I was young. It's like, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. And so when problems come, you know, the week that we talked about fear, we talked about how my parents told me to sing Jesus Loves Me through all the dark hallways and turn on the lights and I would be okay. Well, when depression and sadness and doubt enters our life, we need to get that in our head. We need to get Psalm chapter 1, that we are planted like a tree and by the rivers of the water and we shall not be moved. And if you have to, just start singing to yourself. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the water. water, I shall not be moved. And so when we face all this mess that just wants to drag us down and bring all of this anxiety and depression and hopelessness into our life, we need to realize that we are a child of God and we do not have to be moved by what happens around us. He is our rock. He is our salvation. He is our defense. He is our fortress. We do not have to be moved. Don't wait on people. Wait on God. Don't be moved. God will work on your behalf if you will line up with Him. Psalm 147, verse 3, He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds, curing their pains and their sorrows. God is concerned about your heart. He's concerned about how you feel and what you think. He says that He heals the brokenhearted. You might have gone through significant trauma in your life. I don't know your backstory. I don't know the path that you walked before you showed up this morning. But I do know that if you have wounds in your heart from things that people have done to you or said to you, or things that you've done or said to other people, the Lord will heal the brokenhearted and bind their wounds. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. God wants us to be glad. He wants us to have a joy-filled life. He doesn't want us to be down in sorrow. I mean, that's the worst billboard ever. We are a walking billboard for the Word of God. Those of us who call ourselves Christian are a walking billboard for the Word of God. What are we advertising? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Isn't it so fun? Woohoo! What are we advertising? What is our billboard of the Word of God saying to those around us? What are we doing? God doesn't want us to be weighed down. He wants us to be glad and rejoice and be filled with joy. Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and consistent peace, whose mind and inclination and character is stayed on you, because he commits himself to you. He leans on you. He hopes confidently in you. So trust the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. God is an everlasting rock. So commit yourself to Him. Lean into Him. Hope confidently in Him. God has laid out a pathway to victory, and it's all in minding our mind and not letting fear and anxiety and anger and depression weigh it down and cause your mind to get off track and sidetracked from what the Word of God has said. Allow Him to guard you. Allow Him to keep you in peace. Allow yourself to be stayed on Him, worshiping Him, giving honor and glory and praise to Him, and thanking Him and blessing His name. Prayer and praise are the fastest way out of depression. If you've come here this morning and you feel hopeless and helpless, there's hope for you today, and it is found in the Word of God. It is found in when we lean on Him and we rely on Him and we quit trying to do things in our own strength and we allow Him to use His strength to make all the difference in our life. Let's stand. God, we thank You for the opportunity to cast our care and lean on You.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God. Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.